Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We got the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 7:45. John Glennon from SI.com and NHL.com joining us at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the Predators as they look ahead to game one of the playoffs tonight against the Colorado Avalanche. Charles Robinson at 9 o'clock, Chris Mason at 9:30 today here on the program. And Joe, A.J. Brown's introductory press conference yesterday with the Philadelphia Eagles. We talked about that to end the show yesterday. Was very interested to see what A.J. would say. And that took place around 3:30 yesterday Central Time with A.J. Brown speaking to the Philadelphia media. A couple of different things to kind of sift through here. Obviously, you know, he talked about his time with the Titans and said that there was no bad blood with the Titans. They believed in him. They drafted him at that point. But did talk about the trade part of this. And apparently, according to A.J. Brown, knew that the trade could be a possibility around 1 o'clock on the Thursday that he was traded. Said it was mixed emotions. Went and worked out really hard. And it was just kind of some ups and downs. And at one point was asked about whether or not he requested a trade. And AJ kind of smiled and just said, you know, now are you moving forward? Don't want to look back. So a lot of Titans fans took that as, well, yep, he requested a trade from the Titans at that point. What did you make of AJ Brown and his comments yesterday in his introductory press conference with the Philadelphia media?
Well, a lot of Titans fans, if he would have said, hello, everybody, good to be here. I requested a trade. I see. They were looking for the confirmation. But I do love the answer from him. You know, I'm looking for – I'm not looking backward. I'm looking forward, you know. And I got to remember this. It's like the kids ask me, Dad, like, did you go to class every day in college? I'm looking forward. I'm not looking backward.
That's right.
You know, did you party too much when you were younger? Yeah, I'm looking forward. I'm not looking backward. Did you date anyone before mom? I'm looking forward, okay? I'm not looking backward. Did you eat all your vegetables like you try to make me do? You know, et cetera, et cetera. It's a great answer, a catch-all answer in life, you know. Let's say he didn't request a trade, okay? If he gets that question, is he going to say, no, I did not? Let me tell you about this. I mean, he was not going to get into it anyway. There was nothing to me. There was nothing all that notable about the press conference. You know, thank the Titans for all their stuff. There was a lot of talk about him and Jalen Hurts and how they're close and everything. But again, I mean, Jalen Hurts isn't engineering the trade, you know? I mean, you could look at this, and I think a lot of people will, and I think there's some truth to it. Like, here's another example of maybe, you know, player-controlled moves, like the NBA sort of like dictating, okay, I'm going to go here. But it still comes down to the Titans deciding that it's in their best interest to move him. I mean, they don't have to do this. They didn't have to do this. And I'm still waiting to see what Mr. did request a trade openly in San Francisco, where he's going to be next year. Right now, he's still a San Francisco 49er. And we'll see where that goes. You know, that may change. But there was, you know, clearly close relationship with Brown and Hurts, but there's a lot of guys in this league who are friends. Who don't play together. So, I mean, I thought he was fine. He was respectful toward the Titans, thanked them for drafting him and everything. And, you know, it was I got to save some of what I want to say for my Rex rant.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm trying to be very careful with my words. You know, no spoilers. What'd you think?
Look, I think it's pretty clear that he requested a trade from the Titans. You know, I guess I agree to a point that if he didn't, is he really going to talk about it all that much now that the trade's finalized? Probably not. But I think, you know, we have seen players before asked if they wanted out of a certain place and they've said, no, I didn't want out, but they decided to move on and it's business. And now we're here and I'm ready to look forward now. But I mean, to me, I did take those comments yesterday, or I guess the lack of comments that yes, he requested out at one point. Now, you know, is that purely a negotiation tactic? Did he actually want out and was going to do everything he can to get out? I mean, I know there's been some reporting out there that it makes it seem like AJ Brown wanted to be elsewhere with the Titans. And, you know, if you believe the Titans and the $80 million guaranteed, and now you take a $57 million guaranteed from Philadelphia, I mean, it's a pretty big difference in terms of what you're asking for. So I think it leaves a lot of Titans fans asking the question of why are you asking for so much with the Titans if what they put out there is true? And then you took, you know, almost $23 million less of guaranteed money with Philadelphia. Like, what happened on that front? So it does kind of leave me shaking my head and wondering, did A.J. Brown want to get out of there the whole time?
Yeah, and that's – I mean, look, I have no reason to, like, believe there's no way he requested a trade. I mean, the asking for something ridiculous, this does happen, okay? Again,
it does, like, but again, like, if he's asking for that much – and I get why he'd be asking for that much. Again, it's a negotiation tactic. But if you're asking for $80 million guaranteed, why are you all of a sudden so gung-ho to take $57 million guaranteed?
Well, I mean, I guess my answer would be because that's about where you should be, you know. That's about where the Titans should have been with him. I mean, it's a ridiculous – $80 million guaranteed is way overboard. But, again, he told Teron that they said 16 and up to guarantees of 20 – when Kirk got 18, you know, so that's also ridiculous. But again, that's, to me, it's like, okay, then you go down the road and eventually you find a middle ground. Someone's requesting a trade. Someone's mad. They're not talking. You don't have to trade them. You did, you know? And so now it's, you know, this is one of those things where when someone departs, you know, it's like a different situation, not the same level, but Corey Davis, people really wanted the Titans to keep Corey Davis, and it's like, yeah, he wasn't that good anyway. A blocker, get out of here. You know, people really wanted to keep Jonnu Smith. What do you have? Well, one good year.
We knew how important Corey Davis's blocking was long before he was moved on from here in Nashville this year.
Right. So now AJ Brown. I mean, it's a lot easier to talk yourself into. He hated the Titans. He wanted to get out of Nashville. He was going to be a nightmare. He was going to hold out and never going to play it down. And it's just the Titans are better off. It's much easier to talk yourself into that. I don't know where this is going to go. I know that that nothing that happened forced the Titans to do this. They made the choice. And, yes, they made the choice at a time when you could actually get something back, which I understand. But A.J. Brown's time in Tennessee – take it apart from the contract situation. Everything I know, observed, talked to, he loved it here, loved his teammates, was great in the locker room, really close with Vrabel. I mean, I think he's talked about Vrabel and what he did for him when he had struggles. So, you know, it's purely the contract situation. And look, contract situation can be enough. Obviously, it was enough here. But this is where you're going to get into – again, it's people want to bleed this into like locker room issue and stuff like that, which is very annoying. But you know what? AJ Brown's in Philly now. So,
yes.
I mean, you can just launch shots at him from afar and then watch him next year when he has 1,500 yards for the Eagles.
If Jalen Hurts could throw for 1,500 yards, we'll see. LD from McMinnville on the text line.
Just get it to him quick.
Just get it to him. Oh, he could do that. LD from McMinnville says, Brown saying he wasn't a regular season guy was interesting. The Titans do enjoy pumping their regular season success. This is coming from LD from McMinnville on the text line. Yeah, what did you – a lot of Titans fans took that as like a flex on the Titans. I don't know if I really took it that way. I think it just – I guess was his way of saying he wants to win in the playoffs. But what did you think of those comments from A.J. Brown saying he wasn't a regular season guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think I took it more as like, yeah, like I'm going to be a big game player. You know, one thing he didn't say was I was wide open against the Ravens and Ryan didn't see me. Ryan, you know, he didn't say that. And, you know, again, he didn't rip Tannehill for his three picks in the last game, but that's, you know, I mean, that comes to mind too. Yeah. But yeah, I didn't, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I didn't necessarily take that as like a rip on the Titans, but there's another thing. Everything he says, you could probably find a way to make it into that.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll look at this Titans offense in the aftermath of the A.J. Brown move. What do we like? What do we not like about this Titans offense as they prepare for the 2022 NFL season? We'll get into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. I got some tickets to give away, a family four-pack of tickets to the Franklin Rodeo at the Williamson County Ag Expo Park coming up on Thursday, May 19th. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a family four-pack of tickets to the Franklin Rodeo at the Williamson County Ag Expo Park coming up on Thursday, May 19th, 615-737-1025. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caleb and Gallatin texting in says, do you think the Titans will try to get another receiver from free agency, or do you think they roll with what they've got? This is coming from Caleb from Gallatin on the text line. So, Joe, you look at the receiving core right now. You've got Treylon Burks. You've got Robert Woods. You've got Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, obviously. I mean, you've got, you know, a bunch of different guys you could pick from in terms of, is Cam Batson going to be a part of things next year? I mean, there's different ways that you can go with it here, but what do you think? Do you think the Titans are done at wide receiver with some moves they make, or could they look at some free agents that are still out there? Maybe a guy like a Jarvis Landry who's still out there.
Yeah, see, I mean, and without knowing exactly where they are, you remember, you know, with your cap number, you do have to stay under the cap. There are ways to do that. There are ways to manipulate it and redo contracts, but you got to sign all these guys in the draft class. I would be surprised if they would go out there and sign someone who would be a significant cap hit. Jarvis Landry, like, what is Jarvis Landry?
Apparently, he doesn't like Ryan Tannehill anyway, so that's probably not going to happen.
There's that too. That came out after Tannehill was gone. But I mean, it's like, how do people view Jarvis Landry now? I mean, he's still. Wasn't too long ago. He was a very productive receiver, but those things can go quickly, as we have seen with Julio Jones up close here in Nashville. I could see some kind of a signing, but you know, you did draft. If Kyle Phillips is going to work out, I feel good about him in the slot. That would help a lot, obviously. Burks, Woods. How quickly is Woods going to be ready right from the start? I mean, you certainly know that Westbrook-Ikhina can go out there and do the job and play any position and be solid. So you feel fine about that. I would say it's not a bad idea to go get an experienced receiver. There's just no one that jumps out at me as a great option right now out of the market. There's also some offensive linemen out there that I think the Titans should think about, adding another veteran if you can make it work. Dennis Kelly being one of them, perhaps.
Yeah. Ron on the text line says, in your opinion, who won the draft in the AFC South and who will win the AFC South after the draft on paper? This is coming from Ron on the text line. So we know we talked about the Titans draft class yesterday. You know, you look at the Colts, obviously they didn't have a first round pick, but they got Alec Pierce from Cincinnati in the second round, 53rd overall. Jelani Woods, who I think, Joe, both you and I were very high on at tight end in the third round at 73rd overall, and they got an offensive tackle from Central Michigan in the third round as well. So,
who some people thought was a first rounder.
Somebody thought was a first rounder. That's no question about it. So two tight ends in the draft. They also took Ogletree out of Youngstown State in the sixth round. So what did you think of Indy's draft there? And obviously not having a first round pick hurts that to some degree, but I like Alec Pierce. I like Jelani Woods. I think those are some guys that can come in and can help Matt Ryan right away.
Yeah, no, I think that I think the Colts did well. Alec Pierce is a good player, absolutely. And Jelani Woods, I mean, those guys are going to be, I think good weapons for them. So I think they did well. You know, again, with the Titans, I mean, I think the Titans' choices were good. It's just that can you judge the Titans' draft class? Like, you can't judge it separate from trading A.J. Brown, right? So
I don't think so.
I mean, so, yeah, I mean, you know, like, if you just judge, like, the players they picked, yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, I like Treylon Burks. But I'd say that, to me, the Colts are the favorite. I mean, I said that first thing Monday, but or first thing Friday, I guess. But the Colts are the favorite to me at this point because the Titans offense just don't think enough was done. Things could work out. Derrick Henry has to be great. Treylon Burks is just going to be asked to do so much early and often from the start. I definitely like the tight end situation better. I don't feel as good about the offensive line situation as I thought I might after the draft. And look, if Petit Frere comes in and he's great, then okay. Well, then that's basically the opposite of what happened with the last two offensive tackles, both of whom were drafted higher than him. But how can you feel confident in that and him coming in and just being ready, snap of the finger, you know, and who's playing left guard? So I think the Colts are my slight favorite. Now, I think it's going to be a good race. I think both teams are good. I think both teams are going to be absolutely in the mix, to make the playoffs. But that's how I would pick it. And I'll be honest with you, you know, a team that I think, if you want to talk about the AFC South, who won the draft? So Stingley to Houston.
Yeah.
Kenyon Green. You know, I like getting Mechie in the second.
Yep.
I like getting Christian Harris in the third, you know. So I think the Texans had a really nice draft. They definitely helped themselves. I mean, they've got a long way to go. You know, the Jags, I think most people look at the Walker pick as like, you know, that's a mistake. I mean, we'll see. I think he could be great. I think he'd be a great player. The rest of, you know, the Jags draft, you know, I don't know. I mean, Devin Lloyd is a good player for sure. Devin Lloyd, they needed a linebacker. They got him. They got a center from Kentucky, Fortner. I don't know. I mean, they decided to, you know, to add to Trevor Lawrence's arsenal by overpaying veterans rather than drafting from a fantastic draft class of receivers.
Well, they changed the culture with Doug Peterson coming in there. He's ready to ready to coach these guys up. And I agree. Like, I don't think it's a stretch to say the Texans had a very good draft. I think they did a very good job there.
Yes.
Is there anything else that I could bring out there in this segment?
I think you've done quite well. Thank you.
Doug on the text line says, but you didn't draft a quote punt god like my Bills did. Just coming from Doug on the text line. There was some interesting, pretty good draft for the punters and kickers, I must say.
My last mock, I said Titans get Cade York in the fifth. Where did the Browns get? The Browns get him in the fourth?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, shoot, man. What are you going to do, you know? But Cade York, man. Cade York, the Cleveland Browns have solved their kicking. The fourth round, Cade York went high. Man.
Congratulations, Cade. You get to go kick in that lake effect of Lake Erie right next to you. Be fun.
Yeah, that's true. I guess if you're a kicker, it's like, man, you were kicking at LSU. You at least were hoping to go to a dome team, right? or some good weather, and instead you get the Brownies.
So as we sit here and look at the Titans offense, obviously there's a gigantic hole with no A.J. Brown. You've got Henry coming back, a guy that we didn't talk a lot about yesterday, Haskins, the running back out of Michigan. I mean, I'm interested to see where he fits in now. You've already brought Hilliard back. But is Haskins going to be the number two? Is Hilliard the third down back exclusively? Like, what do you do with that if you're the Titans? That's an interesting pick. We knew that they could take a running back at some point there, but you've got, you know, obviously Austin Hooper now at tight end. You've got Treylon Burks is going to be, I would assume, either your number one or your number two, probably your number two this year behind Robert Woods. What do you think of the Titans offense right now as it stands without A.J. Brown? Because – Joe, I still think there's a potential. I mean, if Derrick Henry's back to full streak, Derrick Henry, if Treylon Burks comes in and is good right away, I think there's a potential for this offense to be pretty good. But that seems like a whole lot of things that are having to go right if you're Ryan Tannehill in this Titans offense too.
Yeah, well, it still starts with the quarterback. Is he going to be great? Again, my question, if you tell me that the offensive line performance this year is going to be better than last year, in particular in pass protection, okay, well, then I see a path to Ryan Tannehill being better. Again, I like the tight ends. It's just think about what you just said. Yeah, they have a chance to be pretty good. A year ago, it was like, oh, my – well, it wasn't a year ago. It was when they drafted for, or when they traded for Julio. It was like,
yeah,
who's going to touch this freaking offense? But again, it's also, it's kind of the folly of all of this, because we were also saying at the time, is their defense going to be terrible again? And now we're like, whoa, how elite is their defense going to be? I mean,
the 2000 Ravens, get out of the way. Here come the Titans next year.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, in both cases, there's still a lot of variables, you know, that we just don't know. I just worry about the offensive line, and I just, the receiver situation is, it's just, you're asking so much of Burks. I think Treylon Burks has a chance to be a very good player in the NFL. To think he'll ever be as good as A.J. Brown, I think you're putting too much on him. And to think this year that he's going to come close to giving you what he gave you, I think that's really a stretch, to use your favorite term. But I like Woods a lot. And I do think that the tight end situation, that's the one area where I'm like, okay, they definitely helped Tannehill there. You know, I mean, Hooper, and we'll see. You know, it's, again, it's a rookie, so you don't want to – I mean, Jonnu Smith early in his career, he struggled to get on the field. Let's remember that. Eventually, it was like, holy cow, this guy is a load. So with Conquo, you gotta have some patience there too. But that's, I mean, I think Hooper could end up being a really trusted target for Tannehill. He's got to be. I mean, that's something that has to happen. And then the offensive line, you got to have a couple guys who emerge and step up and play beyond either their age or their previous performance, to me, to have any chance of being better there.
We'll take your thoughts on the Titans offense. How do you feel about the offense in the aftermath of the A.J. Brown trade to Philadelphia? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Join 1025, The Game, and the Preds energy team this Thursday night to root on the Preds as they take on the Colorado Avalanche in Game 2 of the Stanley Cup playoffs at Headquarters Beercade. For the Preds Bud Light Watch Party, come enjoy great drink specials, including $6 select cans and a $10 Preds cocktail, and enter to win tickets to the Round 1 Game 3 game on Saturday at Bridgestone Arena. It's the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. The puck drops at 8:30 coming up on Thursday night in Game 2. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you, taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Jason from Mount Juliet texting in said, I'd feel better about the offense if the second round pick was a tight end like McBride or an offensive line pick. The corner pick is a little confusing unless it's an insurance Farley our insurance policy against Farley. A second rounder should be a starter. And if Farley is good to go, I don't know where he fits. This coming from Jason from Mount Juliet.
Yeah, well, and we talked about McCurry yesterday. I mean, my first thought was, wow, a corner there, huh? I like the player. By the way, I never got to this on the text line, but someone yesterday on the text line, I apologize for forgetting who, was like, you guys are missing the fact that McCreary is a man, you know, slot corner. That's not true. He actually played – now, he played basically exclusively outside in college. Of course, Derek Mason was his D coordinator last year. Now, that doesn't mean he couldn't be a slot. He was sold as a versatile guy who could go in there and do it. But he's – like, I think the implication was, like, this is more of a comment on Molden than Farley. And I don't agree with that. I mean, look, it's an ad of a really good player. Sorry. Buttons struggle. I've struggled with the buttons. It's an ad of a really good player. It could be a comment on Farley. But I would agree that I thought at that point offense might be the move. Now, I would disagree on McBride. You don't take him that high. The tight end group, like, you still have to go by, you know, your board and your best available over need, you know, to a certain extent. But yeah, I think that, you know, I think offensively, you're really going to need, again, some people to elevate beyond what their timeline should be because of their youth. Or, I mean, I still think a huge key here is just Dylan Radins. I think people are going to want to cast him aside and say, ah, Petit Frere, you the guy, get in there. Well, let's see. Let's see when they're on the field. You know, has Dylan Radins improved? Is he going to come close to validating being picked in the second round last year? I don't look at that pick as like the absolute comment that he's not, or that he's going to be a left guard or whatever. I think it's going to be competition. You want as much depth as you can at all these positions. You want competition. You want that competition to create better play. By the way, Ryan Tannehill now has Malik Willis behind him. Is that going to motivate Ryan Tannehill?
Oh, boy.
Oh, I bet you. I know somebody who thinks that. It's going to motivate Ryan Tannehill to finally get going and stop throwing those picks.
One-armed push-ups, guys. One-armed push-ups.
That's exactly right. If he had Malik Willis behind him in the playoff game, he wouldn't throw in those picks. He was just comfortable and just casual, just chilling out, knowing he had the job. And now got competition behind him. So, nope, those picks are done.
Tannehill saw that Malik Willis got drafted, and he started reeling in that line real quick on the boat, put that fishing rod up and said, gas this thing up. Get me back to shore. I got to get back to Nashville right now.
He said, you know what? Don't gas it up. I'm going to drag this boat in to shore by myself. That'll be a hell of a workout. Now, Malik isn't doing that right now.
Ben on the text line says, a part of AJ being traded, it might be a hidden benefit. It might make Tannehill not feel as comfortable throwing into coverage. Maybe he'll do it less, and that alone could equal a playoff win with our defense. Get back to throwing 10 or less picks a year. I mean,
wait a minute. Are you making this up?
That's what he said.
I was just making that joke. Are you actually seriously saying that?
That's what he said on the text line.
I love you, Ben. Thank you, Ben. Thank you so much.
I mean, I don't know if the problem was as much throwing into coverage last year as it was, oh, hey, there's the linebacker. Let's hit him in stride. Like, he wasn't even in coverage on some plays. He's just like, oh, right. You just hit him right in stride.
Tannehill's back in the pocket. He's thinking about the beach, man, because this is my job and I'm comfortable. So throw it wherever.
Garrett from Dixon on the text line says, for Rexro to think that the Titans offense is just going to implode because they traded AJ is ridiculous. Burks only has to average 65 yards a game to have 1,100 yards receiving, which is something AJ couldn't do. This coming from Garrett on the text line.
You got to figure it out, Garrett. Woo! Hey. Thank goodness got rid of AJ Brown. I tell you what, finally, the Titans have finally found the formula. Woo, get out of here, AJ. Oh, hey, Burks, all you got to do, buddy, 65 yards a game. No problem. Come on in. Piece of cake. Garrett from Dixon's got it figured out.
I can't wait until Treylon Burks has 1,400 yards this year. It's going to be awesome.
Garrett, I want you to text in and dunk on me if that happens, Garrett from Dixon.
Big E on the text line says, if the offensive line is at least solid and if number 22 is back to being number 22 after the injury and Tannehill doesn't throw 20 picks, the Titans will be fine on offense. This coming from Big E. That's a lot of ifs.
That is some ifs. But, I mean, Derrick Henry, it's like the whole offseason. We've talked about nothing but Tannehill.
I know.
And we don't talk about Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry – well, that's the thing. If he is great, okay, well, what does that mean? Probably means good things, right? Yeah. If he's not great, then you could really see it going the other way if he starts going the other way. But the first thing you said, Big E, is that to me is the key, and it's because I'm going to presume Derrick Henry's still going to be really good. You know, I'm going to presume that Tannehill's going to respond, you know, and elevate himself in every way he can. But your first if is if the O-line is at least solid, okay? Taylor Lewan coming back, not coming off an ACL, full offseason of work. That bodes well. Ben Jones being re-signed, that's a good thing. He's getting older. He's hurt a lot, but he's still really important. Nate Davis, can he play? I mean, if you took Lewan and Davis end of season versus early season, okay, if you get the late season Lewan and Davis, that's good. And then two spots that I just don't know. Is it Jamarco Jones? He's been kind of a journeyman, talented guy. Aaron Brewer has done a nice job in a pinch. Can he be a starter? What the heck is Dylan Raidens? What the heck is Petit Frere as a rookie? It's just – these are a lot of questions. And if they don't get answered the way you hope they get answered, I think you start there with issues for this offense. And how are you going to get better when you take if you're not good there and you take AJ Brown out of the mix with Garrett from Dixon? Hey, thank you for doing the math. But I mean, some of these people commenting on this, I'm like, did you actually watch AJ Brown play football in the last 3 years?
Got a texture that says, Rex Road seems to take things a lot more personal the past couple weeks than he has in the past. What's up, dude?
Shut up. You shut up. I don't. Well, I think I've always been a sensitive little whiny crybaby. What are you talking about? Maybe you just haven't noticed. Well, the AJ Brown thing bothers me. It does. I don't like the move, and I will raise my hand if I'm wrong. But beyond that, I really hate. And this goes way back, and even coaching changes. Like I've seen this on a college beat forever. You know, like the old coach leaves, and then the fan base is like, "Oh, that coach sucked." Oh, thank goodness. You know, like you just have this. Of course, you want to believe that the person who just left was actually overrated, not that good, and that the new person coming in is the answer to everything. I mean, Tennessee football fans, can you relate a little bit to this? So that's just a pet peeve of mine.
Wow, that was a shot. Mark from Clarksville on the text line says, gotta love the optimistic people who think it's easy to get 1,100 yards from a rookie. I wonder how they'll feel when he only has 600 and the Titans offense takes a step back with Tannehill throwing more picks. This is coming from Mark from Clarksville on the text line.
That's good to have a little balancing out there. Thank you, Mark. Frank says, Joe, you could have offset all this stress about the Titans and Preds if you had made the Toto Journey concert. Toto absolutely killed it.
Maybe so. Mike on the text line says, awesome. I've noticed it too. Joe gets a little bit more sarcastic when someone makes a point. This is coming from Mike on the text line. Joe, why are you being so crotchety as of late?
Well, hey, guess what's coming up, folks, next? The Rex Rant.
That's right. We can get more of this on the other side with Rex Road's Rant of the Day. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. Rex Road's rant of the day. Although if you ask our text line right now, I guess Rex Road's just been ranting every moment of every day for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I got a text. I didn't realize I'd become such a jerk.
Got a text that says weekly Rex rant equals normal Rex Road. Daily Rex rant equals grumpy Rex Road. This is coming from a texter on the text line. Maybe that's it.
Is that what's happening? The daily Rex rants are turning me into a Rex rant?
Maybe so.
A walking Rex rant?
Yeah. Could be what's going on here.
Well, look, I'll try to be nicer after this segment. Okay.
Okay.
So, AJ Brown's press conference was of high interest yesterday around here. And a lot of people wanted to know what he was going to say. But, you know, I was interested in the questions. So I'm going to go through the first.
I know where this is going.
I'm going to go through the first three questions, okay, from the Philadelphia media to AJ Brown. One, can you talk about the emotions you went through with the trade? Two, you're friends with Jalen Hurts. Can you tell us how that started? So basically, can you talk about that? And three, how can a quarterback and receiver with great chemistry help team chemistry? Because chemistry is such a big part of winning. And on it went. It was a fine press conference. He got asked the questions that you should ask, including, did you request a trade? But this again brought up one of my favorite false sports media narratives. So let me go to a tweet battle and a text from my favorite afternoon host. I really appreciate you, Jared. Jared is helping me out a lot this week with my rants. I mentioned this yesterday, this just hilarious idea that, like, you know, in Philly or in New York or Boston, it's like this totally different thing when, you know, like athletes are in front of the media, you know, like it's just, I mean, it's people are just screaming at him and grabbing him, like, you give me the answers now, you know, it's amazing how people look at this. I mentioned this yesterday. And so Jared comes at me and said, have you ever listened to Philly radio? You know, Philly is next level. And I'm like, no, but that's not what I'm talking about. Okay. I'm talking about people who interact with the player, with the athletes and the coaches. That's, to me, a press corps. I have no doubt that there's, well, eight Jareds in Philly, okay? I have no doubt that there are people screaming this and that, but most of them don't show up. And again, I'll say this every time. To Jared's credit, he shows up, and that is a huge, huge deal. And I got friends in Michigan who fire left and right and say whatever they want, and they don't show up. They're not accountable to the people they're ripping. I don't care about the people who aren't accountable to the people they're ripping. They don't count to me. I mean, if you're someone in those markets, an athlete or a coach, and you just have someone just screaming about you, you don't have to listen to it. You don't have to interact with that person, okay? So I'm talking about people in the press corps. So Sam Smith on Twitter says, going from getting questions from the Nashville media to the Philly media is like going from single A to the major league. That guy's going to get eaten alive. Like, really? Tell me, like, you know, do they take, like, the spotlight and turn it on his face? You know? So he drops here he goes. AJ Brown drops, so this is again Sam Smith, which is like Sam Smith 8825 8255. Okay, AJ Brown drops the ball on third and down in week four. Nashville media isn't going to hit him hard in the post game. Philly media will kill him if he gets hurt, misses 2 weeks in the middle of the year. Nashville media, no big deal. Philly media, kill him. Okay, what do they do? Because the questions get asked. He got asked about dropping passes here, and he got mad a couple times. By the way, he got asked about his injuries. I mean, no one really asked him about Chipotle. He kind of volunteered that.
Yeah.
But what are the questions? The answer is the questions are exactly the same. They are the same questions. You may have more people who are a little bit confrontational with their questions. You have more people. When you have a much bigger press corps, then you probably have more people who try to distinguish themselves here and there in different ways. It is fundamentally the exact same experience. Now, the fans, are they going to boo quicker in Philly?
Yes.
Yes. I have no doubt about that. But the idea that like these press conferences are any different than they are here, it's just harder to get a question in. And I think some of this is also kind of goes along with like the player or athlete who just left your team. Like, you want to believe they stunk and they were hurt, they didn't produce. You also want to believe it's going to be very difficult for them in their next spot.
Honestly,
not how it is.
Well, honestly, when I first started thinking about the AJ Brown side of this going to Philly, the media is not the first thing that came to mind. It was social media and the fans, because I talked about this yesterday. Like, if you're AJ Brown and you're all worked up about what people are saying about you on social media anyway, and that was here in Nashville with the Titans, you're going to a fan base that, and this is not a shot at the Titans fan base, because I think it's a great fan base. But the simple fact of the matter is there are just more Philadelphia Eagles fans than there are Tennessee Titans fans. And now that you've got a gigantic contract to go along with it, which you didn't have here in Nashville, if you start to struggle and you have a bad game or a bad series or whatever, and you're that worried about what people are saying about you, good luck with that in Philly. I didn't think about the media part of that at all. I'm talking about the fans and the social media part of it.
Right. But even with the fans, I mean, AJ has got to change his habits there. I really think he does. But even with the fans, it's like, I mean, I guess it's just, it's sort of the same idea. Like, there's more, right? So there's probably going to be more people complaining at you, but he got crap. He got crap on social media at times in the past as well. It's a bigger volume there. The fan experience in the stadium, I mean, that's where like it will be a different vibe. Yeah. Like, the vibe will be basically the same with the media. And on social media, yeah, like, you're right. And the contract matters too. The contract, he wasn't getting a huge but here's the thing. Let's say that the Titans didn't do this, and then AJ held out, and they eventually in July, they came to an agreement. The holdout ends. He comes back. Everybody makes up. It still would have been different here too, right? Now the fans are like, okay, you can't get hurt anymore. You better – now the 1,100-yard thing is over. Like, we're going to 1,700 yards, right? We're going to multi – so, but yes. I mean, it'll be more like that. I mean, the Philly is certainly – I have no argument about Philly being different – in the arenas. It's incredible. I mean, it really is. Like, actually, they make New York look kind of soft with how they boo people. Like, they will boo you like that. But the, I mean, these, you know, the media, and it's, I have tons of respect, lots of great media members in Philly, but this Nashville media is soft thing is so weird to me, because I just don't, I've never thought that. And again, I'll take myself out of it. Forget that. I'll take myself out of the equation. Everybody else, the questions that need to be asked get asked here, you know? And honestly, I would say Kaharsky, in terms of being confrontational, I mean, I would say Kaharsky is probably more confrontational at times as a question asker than anyone I can recall in Detroit, for example. Yeah. Detroit's a much bigger press corps. I mean, it's a silly narrative, and I'm sure this will be a rant again. And now I feel better, so now let's all be sweet and nice friends, and I'll stop being sarcastic with you on the text line.
Rob in Clarksville on the text line says, AJ is going to get cheesesteak poisoning real quick after he drops a pass. So going from Chipotle worrying to the Philly cheesesteak poisoning in Philadelphia.
Watch out for that Geno's mayonnaise. Oh, my grandma's phone is ringing again. Sorry.
Well, we're going to commercial break anyway. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. Sounds like a horn from a boat going off in the background. John Glennon coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the A.J. Brown situation and the Preds as they take on the Avalanche in game one tonight of the Stanley Cup playoffs. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.